it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's the Kid Double H.
We're in here on a Champions League Tuesday. I don't know who plays today, but I'll make sure that we end this before, I guess, 5 or 6, whatever. You can follow us at Talking Tactics on Twitter. I'm at Daniel Taluk. Half Hope, where can people find you?
HalfHopeFootballHot.com.
Call us at Anchorman616. If you feel like, you know, throwing some little change in the bucket, you can support us on Patreon. The link is in the description. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, there's a little thing that you can hit that will take you to our channel. And then once you go to the channel, you can try for free our subscription. It's basically the same thing as Patreon. But try that for free for 3 days. You can get access to all the back catalog of extra podcasts that we've done, which took a really long time to upload to Apple's mainframe. They need to fix that. There was one announcement that I needed to make. Oh, we are partnered with Touchline Media Group.
Mm.
And Touchline Media Group went from Blue Wire Podcasts to Sport Social, which is based in Manchester. So as a part of our connection with Touchline Media, we have also moved with them to Sport Social. So I don't know how that will affect the podcast or if it will have any effect on how you guys listen or are able to engage. I'm pretty sure it doesn't, except they might add more ads at the beginning and the end of the pod. We don't have really any control over that. We can control the ads that we put within the context of the pod, but not before and after. So you guys, maybe if you're in our Patreon Discord, you guys can let me know how that goes. I think we're still able to say what we want. Like, we could test it. Like, we could just, you know.
We haven't signed anything, though. So, unless we've signed a contract, I don't know. You can't say certain stuff about certain people or certain groups.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, we can say Free Palestine. I'm pretty sure. We can.
Oh, can we? Are you sure? You better be sure, bro.
I'm pretty sure we can say, you know.
There are a lot of people losing stuff saying Free Palestine, man. So, you know, you better be sure, yo.
I'm pretty sure we can say we want scientific socialism on the African continent, a United States of Africa. I'm pretty sure I can say that. Maybe Half Hope isn't in too deep with the politics, but like a boy. But I did see your video that you posted on your second channel. I thought it was pretty good. The partition video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it was... I feel I've got to just got to put something out there on work because, like, literally, I took a long time just thinking. I said, no, there's an angle people are missing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if the angle that I saw, I don't know, I think this is an angle that people are missing. They don't want to look at it, but I think this is the key angle. And I think that's what it's about. I mean, we can maybe talk about it more on our other pod, but yes. just to put it very simply is all or nothing, survival of the fittest. It's how the world works. So
we've said a lot without saying anything specific.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we didn't tape last week. So there is one thing that we should discuss from last week that happened during the international break. And then we'll get into, you know, Chelsea, Arsenal, and all that different kind of stuff. Neymar tore his knee up.
Meniscus and ACL, isn't it?
Yeah. Two things you wouldn't want to happen happened at once. It's kind of, it was weird how it happened because it didn't look like one of those like bad, he jumped and he landed weird. It just looked, it didn't look right for a bad knee injury. It looked mundane. It looked like one of those ones where, you know, where like players scream and they raise their hands and then 5 minutes later they're up running.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looked like one of those. But no, it was actually serious. Being 31, I want to say, playing in the Saudi League. I'm sure you talked about this a few times, but it'll be good to have it on wax here. Is this the end of Neymar? Or is this his R9 story where people think he's dead and then in 2026... he rises like a phoenix and leads Brazil to a World Cup.
Interesting to say, Aaron. Okay, let's use it. That's actually good that you brought it up. So when that happened to R9, he was in his early to mid-20s. Because R9 was 21 at the 98 World Cup. And he was, I think, 25? Yeah, he was 25. No, I think he was either 24 going to be 25. No, he was 24 to go 2025 at the Oats World Cup because I think his birthday is in September. So when that happened, he was young. So he had his body physically had the ability to still recover from that, and also he had the hunger. So from a mental point of view and a physical point of view, age one wasn't a sight. Neymar is 31. Not only that, he's had a whole host of injuries. So there's already been massive wear and tear for the last 10 years or so on his body, and now you've given a 31-year-old probably the worst kind of injury you could potentially have. He can't make the Copa America. Even if he's fit for the Copa America, he won't be in a right physical condition to really do anything in the Copa America. And as we all know, Brazilians post 30, ain't it? So if you do all those calculations, anything short of a miracle, it's over for Neymar. It's finished. It's done. Because the player that we'll see at the end of this injury won't be the same player. That sharpness will be gone. I think even the desire will be gone. I just think this it's like the worst possible setback, you know. It's funny you say this because I don't know whether, because I know you're off Twitter, but right now, so on Twitter, I'm fighting two wars now. So I'm fighting the Messi FC brigade. And now I'm not fighting the Neymar FC Brigade. Uh-oh. Because on this topic, so I had Nix over at my studio. I was talking about the same thing, the Neymar injury. And we said that if, let's say, this is the end, is Neymar top 10 greatest Brazilians of all time? And we both agreed, no, he isn't. We put that out there. So I put out a clip out there. And the Neymar FC fans were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Daniel, I'll ask you. Now, who knows? Miracles can happen. I can't predict the future. But if this is the end and he either retires or just withers away last few years, doesn't plays no part of the Copa America, plays no part of the World Cup, and doesn't win any more UCLs, does nothing more, can he be seen as a top 10 great Brazilian?
I like Neymar. I really like Neymar. I don't like his politics. I like his football. So I would appreciate it if you just kind of shut up and played. Just shut up and dribble? Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, shut up and dribble. Oh, you're one of those. You're one of those. All right.
I'm one of those, like, only speak if you have my politics.
Yeah, you see, there you go. So basically, hypocritical, but that's fair. That's fair.
At least I'm willing to admit it. But I like Neymar's game. But when you ask that question, is he top 10 Brazilian? Brazilian football's been around since the 1800s, 1900s? Definitely. We're talking Pelé. We're talking Garrincha. We're talking Socrates, Zico, Romario.
Jorginho, Rivelino, Bebeto, Romario.
We haven't even got to like...
Yeah.
Roberto Carlos, Cafu, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho. There's no way he can be top 10. Especially if we're just talking Brazil, I think you have to have a World Cup to be in that conversation.
Yes, yes, you have to.
And he doesn't have one. Even in his era, I think Thiago Silva might have a case of being a better Brazilian based on his position and what he was able to do with Milan, with PSG, Chelsea, won the Champions League, different things. Like as a center back, I think Thiago Silva has a better argument of being
100%
better at his position than Neymar was at being a 10. Now, people might, you know, jump down my throat, pause for that. But I think of his era, he might not even be the best. But he is, this is the thing, because he has a lot of appearances and the most goals, that will carry weight for your war that you're fighting on Twitter. So how can the all-time leading scorer of a country not be in the top 10? That might not square with people because we're so fixated on goals, assist, counting statistics that we might not look at performances in Copa Americas, World Cups, what he wasn't able to accomplish with PSG. He's one of those nearly theirs, but there's so many nearly theirs. With the World Cup in 2014, nearly there, but he gets, you know, almost paralyzed.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
Neymar or Kaká?
Personally, Neymar.
No. I don't want to personally. Objectively.
You can take my silence as the answer that I don't want to say what the actual reason is.
As I was listing the names, so the Neymar FC fans were attacking me. So I went down the list and I said, look, these are all, I've given you all these names. I remember, greats and best are two different things. Greats and best or talented are two different things. So this my list were greats, and I didn't have Kaká or Neymar there because I thought Kaká had won a Copa America, but he didn't win a Copa America. And I'm not counting that also World Cup, bro, because I didn't see you on that damn pitch. So Kaká and Neymar are sort of in a similar position of like no Copa Americas, no World Cups, but Kaká has the Ballon d'Or. And at one moment in time, Kaká was undoubtedly the best player in the world. And don't use Messi Ronaldo tax, because at any point in time, do you feel that Neymar was even in the conversation as being the best player in the world? The closest was MSN, and that's still a tough argument. But was there ever a year that Neymar had that was similar to the 07 that Kaká had?
He had games where he was definitely the best and arguably the best ever. So that PSG comeback, that game, that 15 minutes might be the best Champions League football ever played by one individual. He's had portions of seasons, I think the 15-16 season, where Messi was injured. The beginning of that year, for 2-3 months, he was the best player in the world, but that's probably because Messi was gone and he had a level of responsibility thrust on him. But your question was there a year? And the answer to that is no. He never was able to string together a year consistently of being the best. Now you say don't put Ronaldo tax, Messi tax. That helps contextualize why. But if you're that guy and you're the guy that people are saying you are, then be better.
Yeah.
Or get done what needed to get done at PSG. But once you move to PSG, there's only one way to do that, and that's to win the Champions League, and he wasn't able to do it. So if he would have stayed at Barcelona, he would have been in Messi's shadow, but being next to Messi might have given you an opportunity to outshine him.
But you say this though. Okay, you mentioned something very key. The miracle at Camp Nou. Who was the star of that game?
Neymar.
Was Messi on the pitch at the same time that happened?
Yes.
So are you saying that if Neymar remained at Barcelona, he wouldn't have eventually had eclipsed Messi? See, this bit about football. You can talk this and everything. The bit about football, the bit about sports, tennis, basketball and everything, it's binary. It's objective. He scored that goal. He made that assist. He had those dribbles. He stood out. He made these key plays. So for Neymar, if you continue there at Barca, I believe if he has stayed at Barca, 100%. And also remember, Messi is the kind of player who, Messi doesn't have that kind of alpha mentality. He's very much about, I'm all about, Messi is a LeBron.
Yep.
Messi is LeBron. But what is best for the team?
Neymar's Kyrie.
Yeah, You can say it, he's Kyrie.
It's always been the perfect. Like basketball, football comps never work, but this one works. Yeah. Messi is LeBron. Neymar was Kyrie.
Yeah, that's and my thing is, I feel
you didn't
that,
need to go to Boston, Kyrie. You should have stayed.
No. But so my thing though is, if Neymar had stayed at, but here's the thing: hindsight is 2020. Back in 2017, going to PSG made sense. And 10 times out of 10, 2017, yes, go to PSG. But if I knew now
what I knew then,
I would say no. As good as this is, as much as this makes sense, no, Neymar, stay here. Because PSG is a mess. And that's an environment that will ruin you.
It was if I knew then what I know now.
Yes, that was like, so if I knew then what I know now, I'd be like, okay, this is cool. Stay at Barcelona. If you remain at Barcelona, the way that we view Neymar would be different. And I do believe that in that Barca environment and what it is, Neymar wins a Ballon d'Or. And Neymar is one of the best players. So this whole thing of like, oh, but Messi, Ronaldo, no. You stay at Barcelona. Messi is very happy to defect. Remember, you have a good relationship. So you're on friendly terms. Messi would be more than happy to defect because Messi is, okay, what works best for the team? I'm not here to be the main, to just do everything. What works best for the team? And Neymar, I'm happy for you to be the alpha. Boom. Take charge. Bro, again, in that same game, Messi gave the penalty to Neymar. When things were hot in that second half, Messi was like, no, Neymar, this is yours. I want you to take this penalty. So let's talk regrets. You see, for Hazard, does Hazard have a regret? No. We don't know. Okay, so Hazard's biggest regret is, and this is something that he could only answer himself. Were you best prepared physically and mentally for that move to Real Madrid? He can only answer that. Pogba's biggest regret is you should have left Man United. No, sorry. Biggest regret is twofold. Thank you. Twofold. Onefold is you should have never returned to Man United. Secondfold is, I think it was 2018 or something, you should have made that move to Barcelona. Was it a Barca or Real Madrid? You should have made that move at that time. Neymar's biggest regret is, when the dust settles, he will accept this, leaving Barcelona. You should have never left Barcelona. But then, you see, Daniel, you say this now then, but let's keep it real. Daniel, 2017, Daniel.
At the time, I think we all kind of read the tea leaves the same way.
Yeah.
That like, it's a risk to leave, but I understand why you're doing
it. Yes.
So I think everyone understood that PSG is a bit weird. First, our initial analysis probably was, and we'd have to go back and listen. There's an emergency call, but 222 million euros. What are PSG doing? Is this ruining football? All of that kind of stuff. Just the nature of the story was wild. But when you look at Neymar specifically, and again, this is me looking back after 4, 5, 6 years, however long it is. So I don't know exactly what I thought then. But I hope it would have been something along the lines of, I get why he's doing it, but it is a risk nonetheless. And the risk, again, for me is nobody's going to care what you do in Paris. That you could win the league 7 times in a row. I'm sure he almost did it. I'm sure for his 6, 7 years, he might have won the league 4 or 5 times. Nobody cares about France. That's not a problem or a condemnation of France or Ligue 1 necessarily. It's just where they stand in the pecking order. If he would have gone to Germany, perhaps same thing. Serie A is a bit different. It's in that weird place where people still put it on a pedestal. But Ligue 1 for sure, that doesn't matter. Not in the grand scheme of things. Mbappe's feeling that a bit.
Yeah.
We're only going to care what you do in the Champions League. So that means you're leveraging all of your superstar power, all of these best player in the world kind of honors or kind of ideas that exist in people's heads. The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you stand out in Champions League quarterfinal, Champions League semifinal, Champions League final. And he was never able to do that. Even, let's be real, even Messi suffered this when he went to Ligue 1. This paradigm shift that we're seeing in terms of who's the best player in the world, if it wasn't for the World Cup, Messi would have been finished in terms of that conversation because of his move to France. When you're playing for Barcelona, you're always in the shop window. People are always looking at you. They're curious because La Liga, it means something special. and you're opposite a club like Real Madrid. So when I say, looking back in hindsight, the move would have been to stay and be right there with Messi and compete against him in the same arena, on the same team, during the same games. Perhaps there would have been seasons or moments that he excels, and it's made plain in games that people care about, against Madrid, against Sevilla, against Atletico. Neymar was the guy. But once you abdicate and you go to France, you could play as well against Lyon, Marseille, Brest, Cannes, whoever. Nobody's going to care. And when you talk about decisions, all of those three had it within their hands what to do with their careers. And they made the decisions they made. Contextually, we can make sense of all of them. Hazard, going to Madrid, it's your dream. Pogba, I want to prove to the Manchester United fans that you shouldn't have gotten rid of me. So I'm going back and I'm going to prove it. Neymar, I played the best 10 minutes, 15 minutes of my life. And the lasting image is Messi with the crowd. They're never going to give me my credit while I'm here. So I got to go. I got to get my own place. And he found it in Paris. So we can contextualize and make sense of it all. But those decisions, again, looking back in hindsight, didn't work out. All three struck out.
Mm.
And now Messi's going to win the Ballon d'Or, apparently. So
yeah, obviously. Yeah, come on, bro. Yeah, I mean, you can't give the Ballon d'Or to a guy with no first touch, man. Come on, can't do that.
The other thing that could have saved Neymar is you play for the biggest football international brand that exists in the world. You play for Brazil. You're the number 10 of Brazil. That means something different. Nobody else has that. The number 10 shirt of Brazil. If you do anything, you win a Copa America, you win a World Cup, everything except, apparently, an Olympic gold medal. That doesn't count. But
stop it. Stop
Copa
it. Copa
America. It. Oh, have the brigade been using the Olympic medal?
Wait, what do you mean by the...
You're in your fight. Yeah,
I dare them. They've never been stooped that low. They're not stooped that low yet. So
you, being the number 10 for Brazil in a Copa America or a World Cup and being maybe captain or the most important team or the most important player in a winning team, I feel like that would extend the level of, I don't know, depth to a year, a calendar year, because that's how Ballon d'Ors work. But even if we exclude Ballon d'Or, as football people, was there ever a year that we considered Neymar to be the guy of the year?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
That's beyond the promotional, marketing, capitalist Ballon d'Or bullshit.
And you can't blame Messi and Ronaldo. There was never a year where, for a sustained period of time of that year, Neymar was that. Like, the closest thing was MSN.
None of them had that. Even though we would say that those were the three most talented players of their generation, they never got it. They were we've been talking about this for a couple months, but it's failed. It's like an aborted generation of talent that just never got up. It never got.
Hold on. But in my man's defense, let the defense calls Eden Hazard's lawyer and defense attorney. 2018 World Cup, 18-19 season. That's what I'm saying. That's for my clients.
But wasn't Messi's best year at Barcelona that same year?
But what did he do in the 2018 World Cup though? so basically, that's my care package. So it's a full package. It's the 2018 World Cup, 18-19. So it's a two flex package that I'm giving you.
I hear you, but you want a whole year from Neymar, so you can't condense it to a 2-month tournament for Eden Hazard just because it suits you. So,
oh, please.
I'm just saying, you don't want to obviously contradict yourself, even though you do.
No, I'm still kind of here. Yeah, bro, it's anyway, called World Cup tax. World Cup tax.
I hear you. That's why Messi's going to win the Ballon d'Or. Chelsea-Arsenal. So,
Asna.
We need to talk about goalkeepers, I think.
Oh, Robert.
Robert and David. David?
No. David. Rob and David. Those are their names right now. Rob and David.
First, okay, so Chelsea are up 2-0. And Raya decides, I'm going to try to pass to Rice. And instead of passing to Rice, he passes to Palmer. Palmer could have just taken the shot first time, but he didn't. He wanted to dribble It makes sense. He's left-footed. It's on his left foot. He wants a better angle. Jackson kind of did the same thing, up 2-0. But the passing out of the back from Raya was horrid. And conceivably, they should have been down 3-0. Not even talking about this Mudryk cross that went in that was embarrassing. I'm not calling it a shot. I refuse.
No, it's of course not.
To call that a shot. He said the goalkeeping coach told me to chip him. From that part of the 18-yard box, the coach wasn't telling you to chip him from like midfield
There was a guy I was doing a live show with, and like Chelsea fan, and he said that, you know, Mudryk's technique is what I'm like, mate, what are you okay? Just be happy that look, I'll take the goal. But let's just be honest here. He tried to cross and he misjudged the cross. That's what,
bro. It's his weak foot. Stop it.
Stop it, bro. Stop. No. It was a failed cross.
He chipped with his weak foot. That perfect. Stop it. You could give him the ball 200 times. Bet you he couldn't do it again.
No.
And then he stands there and does the Wayne Rooney. I guess now it's the Jude Bellingham just outstretched arms.
That's shameless, man. That's shameless. That's shameless. Oh
my God. Don't fucking kill me. So, Raya has to answer for that. Because I've been listening to goalkeepers talk, and apparently, like, his positioning was all wayward. Because if you see Mudryk in that area, you should know that the only runner in your vicinity is Sterling. So why are you defending the front post like that? You should be a little bit more retreated. So there's that. Nonetheless, Chelsea are up 2-0. It doesn't seem like Arsenal are going to do anything dangerous in the game. I'll let you talk about Bob.
Now, first of all, so Bob was the third choice for Brighton. First thing. Second thing, Bob needs a good trim because that trim is trash. That's the second thing. Third thing from Bob is, I've never known a keeper who dives 3 years after someone has shot. This guy's attempt at diving is ridiculous. Do you know Grover? Remember Grover from the Muppet Show? That's this dude. He's Grover. When he dives, the guy looks like Grover from the Muppet Show. Because my thing is, what are you good at? You know that you're not good at distribution, and I've never seen a guy who dives three. Basically, you're diving like you're lagging. That's how this guy does. Like, if you're lagging.
Poor Wi-Fi.
Yeah, basically, this is one. Basically, I'm calling him one bar. One bar. Basically, one bar is this guy's trash. No, but see, but here's my thing though. How do we have a situation where, I saw this on Twitter and I said that, I feel sickened to agree. How are we now in a world where I want Kepa back?
Mm-mm, stop, no.
Daniel, if you had to choose, Sophie's choice, Kepa or Sanchez?
Bob.
You're crazy.
No. At least.
At least
can,
what?
At least Bob can claim crosses. At least on corners, I'm a bit confident that he'll come out and catch it.
Bro.
With Kepa.
No, Daniel, stop right there. Another day, that's a penalty. Did you see what he did to Jesus? Bro, he came in and he freaking sniped and speared Jesus.
Bro, I like that kind of stuff.
On another day, that's a penalty.
I like that kind of stuff for my goalkeepers, like aggressive.
Kepa, that leads to a penalty? Okay, all right.
Well,
okay.
I mean, Kepa, is there any redeeming quality for this guy?
Save. No. Okay, Daniel, let's be objective right now.
Pens.
No. He makes. I've not seen Sanchez make a really good save. Kepa
reaction
made
time.
Really good saves.
So Kepa's reaction time.
Yes.
Is good. But if I put it in the corners, he can't reach. Or if he reaches, it's weak wristed.
Daniel, Sanchez's chances is garbage.
And Kepa's distribution is overrated. But let me just say, apparently he wants to stay at Madrid. So let me not trash him too much. Kepa is fantastic. He's great. He's amazing. If I was Perez, I would buy him. Because who needs Courtois? You need Kepa.
Oh, wow.
Can you tell I'm lying? Maybe. Yes, but you're asking the wrong person for a Kepa judgment. I would have still kept Mendy. But, you know, black text.
You see, Daniel, here's the thing. There is a time. See, Fridays stroke Saturdays, that's when this Daniel can come out. That's when Malcolm can come out. But for a football show, we needed Malcolm for like racial topics and everything. But when it comes to football show, we need, yeah. Oh, wow. You see, for this show, actually, you know what? Yeah, because I follow his daughter on Instagram and everything. You need a shout out to the Shabazz family, man. No. You need to be, I need Football Daniel. You see, Malcolm Daniel, that's for the other pod. Football Daniel, I need, that's yeah, what I need ex. For Tuesday. Yeah.
No, I still would have kept, Mendy.
Mendy? Daniel, stop it, bro. Come on. Okay. Is this Football Daniel speaking or Malcolm? No. Both. So Football Daniel would keep, would keep Mendy.
Oh, all my books just fell over.
Stop it, Daniel.
I like Mendy.
Look, no. I don't care.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Daniel, so. I am here. This is a football podcast, and we're here for football intakes.
Okay.
So, as a football connoisseur, you are keeping Edouard.
Over Bob and Kepa? Yeah.
Daniel, you're crazy.
I mean, if you, I wouldn't do Ter Stegen or Courtois or Magnon or
Daniel. Like, no, you're not keeping Mendy over Kepa. And bro, Kepa is trash. You're not keeping Mendy over Kepa, man. Stop it. Mendy had a lightning in a bottle season. After that, the guy just fell off a cliff. So for those few months, 7 or 8 months of that UCL and that AFCON, bro, amazing. But it happens. Once is a wonder. Worst of all, meet you for Swansea. What happened to him afterwards? It happens. So,
okay, fine. But I'm not accepting Kepa. I don't care. I take Lloris over Kepa. Who you know, Lloris is still playing for Spurs, by the way. I looked this up today. He's still a top player.
Why, he cleans the toilets? What does he do?
I don't know. They're not playing him. He's just, and I think he's training. Not with the squad. There's something weird going on. I don't know. Maybe they want him to go, but he's too much money and he doesn't want to leave or something. I don't know. I mean, I didn't mean for that to be a segue, but Spurs are top of the league. Yesterday they beat, I want to say Fulham. Madison and Son with the goals.
And the assist.
Are they the best team in North London would be my question. So Arsenal had their comeback, assisted by Bob, and what was the second goal? Gusto got caught at the back post.
Oh, sorry,
and Arsenal came back and won 2-2. It felt like a win. It was a 2-2 draw, but it felt like a Chelsea loss and an Arsenal win. And Nketiah could have stolen it at the end, really 3-2. But Spurs, in comparison, I mean, they look well drilled. They look confident. They look like they're taking Postecoglou's ideas well.
Shout out to the glue.
He was Angie Martinez a few months ago. So
I know. I've changed it now. So,
yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what to make of this in terms of the addition by subtraction idea of you get rid of your star player in Harry Kane for no small fee, by the way. Like, I think it's 100 mil or something close to it, euros. And the team looks better, even though in some instances it looks less dangerous. So I don't know really what to make of it.
I don't know. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah.
We've played 9 games. So we can't have any assertion of what Tottenham have done until the end of the season. What you have to do is give Ange his props. Because even if they fall off a cliff, to do this well after 9 games, after losing your main goal scorer and your arguably your best player, is bloody amazing. But football is a very funny thing. Sometimes when you take that star player, it actually enhances the collective. So when you have a star player, psychologically, like, oh yeah, I know he can get 30, 40 goals. So the way that you play is actually different because you know that, oh, because he's there, yeah, I can always defer to him. Once you now take that guy, there's no longer a go-to guy. So it now enhances the collective nature of the team because they're not looking for that superstar, supernova player. But it's 9 games. What I want to see is, this is good, this is amazing, you deserve your props, you deserve your apology for guys like me who called you Angie Martinez. When you lose, how do you react? When Son gets injured, when Madison gets injured, when Romero inevitably gets a three-match ban. So when these things happen, when Bissouma goes to the AFCON, even though it's only 2 league games. These things happen.
And I think there's an Asian Cup.
Oh, sorry, Asia Cup as well. You see? So,
So,
like, for me, like, this, what this is about is, oh, you can realistically get top 5 now because you have this nice collection of points. So now top 4, top 5 is realistic, specifically given the fact that how badly United and Chelsea are doing. So really your competition,
Newcastle,
might be Newcastle, Villa and Brighton.
Yeah.
So, and for me, if Tottenham gets top 4, top 5, the very season after Kane left, that is a humongous W. Like, let's get this title, forget it. Just stop the EPL title talk. They're not in the convo, they will never be in the convo, stop it. But if they get top 4, top 5 without Kane, after losing Kane, that is an amazing achievement.
Do you know what I say? And I'll steal this from, I mean, I heard it in a Kanye West bar, so maybe we shouldn't say that anymore. But reach for the stars, so if you fall, you land on a cloud.
Yeah.
Why not go for the league? Like, if you go for the league, you won't win it, but you might finish third. If you're in for top four and you don't get it, you might finish fifth or sixth.
So
have title-winning aspirations. And you might just scrape the place that you should.
But let me clarify what I'm saying. I don't think they win the league. Mm. So we should stop the title talk. Now, in that dressing room, you do what you're saying. Bro, go for we want to try and win every game and try and win the league. So if you have that mindset, you follow. So the outside thing, us as football guys, come on, bro. Tottenham are not in any title convo. Like no. This is not, they don't have the squad. They can't outlast. And they don't have the mileage to run this marathon. So it's not happening.
In our lifetimes, recently, we've seen Leicester win.
Once in a lifetime. That's never happening in our lifetime again.
Were we taping the pod during that? No. But I'm pretty sure you would have been like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Week after week, it's once in a lifetime. Okay, Daniel, be real. Do you honestly believe there's a realistic chance Tottenham can win the league? A realistic chance.
Let me look at the table. I feel like I'm being cantankerous and stubborn this episode, but they have a 2-point advantage on City after 9 games. They've scored 20 goals. Conceded 8. Their goal difference is the same as City's. They haven't yet lost. No. Even still. I was trying to talk myself into it. But who have they played? Let's see. Who have they played already this season? Is this United game? Was that their first game of the season on August 19th?
No. That was their second game.
So they've beaten United. Drew with Arsenal at the Emirates. They beat Liverpool when they shouldn't have. And those are really the three that would stand out as being tough, I would say. They've got Chelsea to come, Villa to come, City, West Ham. I guess that's their closest rival geographically. Newcastle. So they have their harder run of the season is coming up. So ultimately, no. Like, I can't say they don't have a chance because everyone has a chance, but it's not some grand thing that I would put money down.
That's why I said realistic. Like, realistic. Of course everyone has a chance. Realistic. Talking realistic. No. They don't have a chance.
I wouldn't call them title contenders yet. They're just up there after 10 games nine games, which is still a credit.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Because I wouldn't have had them top of the table after 9 games. Who's top of the table? Man City. Like, I wouldn't even need to think. So that is someone different, and it's Spurs. Good on you. But it's not like there's 29 games played and they're up by 2, 3, 4 points. Even still, if that was the case, 29 games played, they're up by 2. City's gonna, you know, there's 9 games left. Like, you know,
it's City's league to lose. It's their league to lose, man. So.
You know the doubting Thomas, where it's like, you know, they told him Jesus was alive, and he's like, man, I gotta see myself.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
I need to see the hole in the hands and the feet, bro. Like, I don't believe it. Even though if you were crucified on your hands will rip. So I think it's holes in the wrists. Either way. Jesus then magically appears in a room that was locked. It's like, hey, yo, Thomas, it's me. And then, you know, Thomas repents or whatever for doubting. But that's me. I need to see the holes in the hands or the wrists in order to believe that Spurs can pull this off. Or any, the only one that I kind of sort of would believe in is Liverpool. Because I've seen them do it before. But again, that's me. Like, I'm not doubting them at this point. I've seen it. Like, they've done it. By the way, Liverpool don't look half bad. What are your thoughts on the pool?
Do they have a Sadio Mane? So by that I mean,
is that their closest? Diaz? Is that their closest?
No. I mean, no, but when I say Sadio Mane, do you have a guy where, okay, come, you, because again, that's why I say, so that when they won the league, they said that Mane's goals won Liverpool the most points. So do you have a go-to guy? Salah is going to Salah. He can't do everything himself. So is there a good co-pilot that Salah can have? I don't know. I don't know. Like, people are saying Dawizi is that dude that he can come
Evolution.
In.
We need to come up with a name for him, like Evolution or...
Bro, at the moment, Liverpool fans are calling him Dawizi. That's what I'm hearing.
Dawizi?
Yes, I'm hearing Dawizi.
That's horrible.
So,
Evolution is horrible, but it has to be something related to Charles.
Or it could be Doc Martens, though. Shout out to YSK. They're calling him Doc Martens, you know. Because you have Lukaku's teams, he's Doc Martens. I mean, I have more faith in Liverpool than Arsenal. I feel Arsenal blew it last season. I thought Arsenal, you could have stolen that have been just like thieving in the night. They could have stolen that league title. They missed that chance. They're not going to get that chance again. So Liverpool, I just feel because they've been there, they've done that, and they know how to go toe-to-toe, and they know how to go, and pretty much they know how to go into deep waters with Man City in the way that Arsenal can't. That's my thing. So, but the issue though is, can that defense hold up? Is Van Dijk still the same? Are you going to get the kind of consistent effectiveness that Firmino gave you, Mane gave you, Robertson? He's sort of fallen off a cliff now. So if anybody is to beat City, I think it's Liverpool, but I just don't think they have the ingredients to beat Liverpool, to beat City the way that they did years before. So it's City. Nobody wins the title. City loses it. That's how it happens.
I like that. So last thing in England, before we go elsewhere in the last maybe 10, 15 minutes. Sir Bobby Charlton died. I want to know, do you have any recollection? Obviously not of his playing career, but like maybe of people in your life that talked about him, or is this clearly like one of those English legends that English people care a lot about, but like his reach outside of England is quite limited. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this was really England. I don't think his reach extends that much beyond for England. But though, when I was in Nigeria, I always used to watch World Cup VHS tapes. And obviously, whenever you get to 66, I forgot the name of the captain.
Bobby Moore.
Yeah. Like, obviously, there's that iconic picture in 1970 of Bobby Moore and Pele. But I think in 66, based on just his look and his hairstyle and everything, like his bald patch, he was a guy that, he stands out. So, but look, man, I mean, I think when you now think of the plane crash, being one of the few survivors, what he did after that plane crash, winning the World Cup and the European Cup and league titles after that plane crash, I mean, that's just a whole other level of achievement, you know? So,
you know, it's I always find it interesting when, like, you're watching a game and they'll, like, flash just somebody in the stands and they're an old person. And maybe the commentator will say who it is, but there'll be some times where they put the person on camera and they don't even mention it, almost as if you're meant to know. So this happens a lot with Sir Alex now, where... You'll be watching Manchester United. They're probably at Old Trafford and the camera just shows Sir Alex, but they don't say anything because you're meant to know who that is if you're watching football for a while. I remember they used to do that with Bobby Charlton and his brother, who I think was Jack.
Yeah, Jack. I think he played for Ireland.
And I was like, who is this that they keep putting on the TV screen? And then after a while, like they he's there enough to where it's, oh, Sir Bobby's in the stands. Sir Bobby's in the stands. So I was like, okay. And then you go do the research, as you say, like the plane crash and those early United teams. It's like, wow, he had a hell of a career. So, and a United ambassador for sure. So
yeah,
in England, to be fair. So yeah, like it's we're in that age where those footballers from the 50s and 60s, like Pelé, like Charles, like they're passing away. So that's kind of sad. But shout out to a legend. I definitely feel like it's worth mentioning. From someone, you know, at the end of their time to someone at the beginning, at least of their football career. I watched the Barcelona highlights.
Bilbao.
That young striker, Marc Guy. Gui?
I think, I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's Guiu or Gui, but it's Mark Guiu. So,
you know, when you see a player play, you're like, ooh, there's something here. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but he didn't. This is when I knew there was something there. Okay. I was like, who is this? Like, they're saying he's 17, scored with his second touch. And while I'm looking at his bio, I saw 6'2". I was like, what? Because the goal that I saw, he looked like somebody who was 5'9 with that kind of agility and speed.
Yeah.
So for him to be 6'2", because Marcus Alonso is 6'2". He doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
Because they came on together. So, yo, Barca might have an interesting striker to go. Like, I'm not saying he's the Lewandowski solution. It's his first game. Who knows? It could just be one of those, you know.
On the balls, remember, they have Vitor Hoque coming in January.
You know, so there'll be competition. But from what I saw, like that one highlight, that one goal, I like what I saw. So just, you know, somebody to look at.
Yeah, no. I think because, again, Lewandowski can't run anymore. Like, he's a geriatric. So.
Was that it? Or do you get used to watching Lewandowski make runs and then anybody who plays that position looks faster? It's like, oh, I don't know.
No, because I think, like, I don't think Lewandowski scores that goal because he doesn't run that fast.
Yeah.
And I think for Felix...
Felix wouldn't have made that pass.
Yeah, that's the thing. Basically, if you're a creator, it's very useful if you know that you have somebody's speed you can give the ball to, because that expands the kinds of balls you can give them. But if you know that a guy is not that fast, you have to give him a position where you can give him the ball to feet. Because if you're giving the ball to space, you just know, like, he doesn't have the speed.
Your boy Felix was good, by the way.
Yeah, so Felix was able to give him the ball to speed, and it was his speed, youthful exuberance, that was able to get that ball, two touches, control, shoot. And Unai Simón is a very good keeper. So 17-year-old on your debut to score on your second touch against one of the best keepers in the league, I mean, that's a dub, man. That's a dub.
Let's quickly... I didn't want to lead with this or even really discuss it. But since I'm here with Malcolm. Vinicius is racially abused by the Sevilla fans again. Did you see the video of the kid in the crowd doing the monkey thing? I know you saw it. Somebody must have sent you this. Hey, look at this kid. Did you see it? The little baby doing ooh-ooh-oohs with the monkey.
You want to be honest here? Okay, look. You can cook. You feel free to cook. But this is just my take here, and I'll allow you to cook here. I feel stupid commenting on this again. Especially to me, because because by me saying, oh my gosh, this is terrible. How can you? I'm like, I've said this 3 billion times. So if I'm talking about this again and being angry again in 2023, I'm the idiot. So what's it saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me a third time, I'm a flipping moron.
You added that part.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, so if I'm talking about this, I'm a flipping moron because I'm sorry. The fact that we're still going through this in 2023 shows you that no one cares. No one wants to eradicate this. And I'm an idiot by saying, oh, this is so terrible. Say no to racism and we must fight. Oh, please, please give me a break. But
the last time was at the Mestalla in Valencia, I think. I think that's their stadium name. So the last one was Valencia with him and was it Hugo Duro who's with Valencia. That was earlier in the year or late last year, like near World Cup time. Now this one is at, oh, what is Sevilla's name? Pejuan? How do you pronounce that one? Either way. This one's in Sevilla. And when you talk about this idea that nobody cares and nothing's happening and this and that, I was told as a kid that like things improve over time, that like time, this is what they tell you, that time makes everything better, that people are constantly evolving. And in that evolution, things become better, right? This is what they say. So just give it more time, give it enough time, time, give it more time. And then you see like that child in the terrace and him doing the monkey chant and him doing the ooh, ooh, oohs and all of that. If time really was a determining factor in the improvement of behavior, the improvement of relations between different groups of people, specific to this case, how African people or people of the African diaspora are treated in Europe or Spain or Seville quite pointedly. If time were the factor, then that child would never do that because he's younger. He would have seen his adults, his, you know, great grandparents might have done it, but time would tell him no. That's not how this shit works. Things change all the time, and it's not necessarily evolution. There can be an equal amount of devolution. Time is not itself a determinant of how behavior will transpire. Time is just there. Time is just time. Anything can happen within that. It's not. Things don't have to get better. They can get worse. And when I see that child on the stand, I hear, and then I hear what you say, I think we're going to keep talking about this. There's not going to be an end to this because the children are being inculcated with these ideas of African inferiority. And I can do this to a black player because I'm trying to unnerve them. And I'm trying to get under their skin, or they're just annoying to me. So this is my response. This is just what we do. All of these kinds of ideas. If there was an evolutionary process in terms of, you know, human interaction and relation, then these things wouldn't transpire. Children wouldn't be doing that, but they are. So these children are going to grow up in that environment and have children. Like it perpetuates unless it's fully stamped out. And you can, and as you've always said, I'll shut up here, but you can get rid of it in football stadiums if you want to. Easily. You can. can you get rid of it in society is a larger question. But
Can you get rid of
it inside of a football stadium?
It's not a question. Sure? Hold up. You can get rid of it in football. You will never get rid of it in society. That's not a question. You never get rid of racism. That never happens. No, never. Racism doesn't doubt. It just evolves into something else. Racism is an ill that human beings will always have a level of prejudice. Racism will always exist for all time. 100%. So that's not in question.
I hear you and I agree. But the expression inside of football stadiums can be subdued and eliminated through points bans. Banning sections of people, docking points, if I didn't say that one already, There are a myriad of things that you could try or implement in order to get rid of this. From the stadiums to where the footballers themselves wouldn't have to cope with it and deal with it. But as with society, there is a lack of willingness, even in football, to remove that because either they don't see it as a problem or there's not a great enough impetus in order to remove it.
Basically, this is a key bottom line here, and I probably can move on from here. If the world if social media wasn't around and wasn't condemning racial stuff, the powers that be in Spain wouldn't do anything. They'd be like, oh no, it's just part of the game. So the only reason why they feel they have to act is because there's such a shining light upon them and the league. The bottom line is that the powers that be, the authorities, they are racist themselves. They don't care. For them, they're like, no, it's part of the game. And if I was in that position, I'd do the same thing because it's part of our culture. So for that kid, no, it's part of our culture to be like, yeah, if a black guy does this, we do that monkey chance. It's just, it's the same cycle. So
that's why I hate the idea that culture evolves into a good thing.
No.
It could devolve. Do you see that all the time? Like you would say that a place like Rome or Greece or Egypt or all those kind of ancient civilizations, like they must have had a decent culture enough. When I say decent, I mean one that can sustain itself over centuries, millennia even, to withstand the different types of things that might happen within those years. But eventually, the culture devolves to a point where the empire fades, falls, is overtaken, corrupted, etc. So if time were to be just an ever-evolving positively force, then empires wouldn't fade because time would make them better. But that's not what happens. They start, they get better, then they fall off. Or some never start, some start bad, they get better, then fall off. Like, there's never any constant with history, with time. So I hate this, like, oh, the kids are all right. No, they're not.
No.
Because they're raised by parents who are not all right. What are you talking about? Like one kid, one child, this one anecdotal guy on Twitter. Oh, look at this kid. They're together, black and white hugging. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, that's one story. But like, that doesn't mean that's everything. The kids are all right. No, I've seen the kids. No, things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And in fact, the only way they can get better is if they get more worse. They get worse.
Oh, wow.
That's the sad reality. You say racism can never be extinguished. And I said I agree. But that's in the present paradigm. So if things stay as they are, it'll never go. But in order for things to get better, they sometimes have to get worse. So there you go. Is there anything left on the table? Do you have any other subjects? I saved this for the end for a reason, but...
I don't know. I'm Gucci, man. I'm Gucci, Gucci, Lucci, Mucci, Tucci, Coochie, right. Woo.
Yeah, this has been Talking Tactics Podcast. We thank you guys for listening.
Merci beaucoup, guys. Thanks for the support, guys.
If you disagree with us, which you probably do, you know, leave us a comment.
No one disagrees. I dare to disagree. we're giving you that real reality talk,
leave us
a
comment.
Check out the other pod, man. MJ.
Yeah, tell them about the pod.
Yeah, man, check out the other pod. B12 by MJ. And also, what's the guy? I spoke to one of my Ghanaian friends, and he says, I say, yo, bro, you have to come and talk West Africa with us. Say, look, man, I'm down. So one of my Ghanaian friends, because basically, okay, he's like my racial guy. So anything to do with racism, he's my guy. That's basically, look, all we do is just talk about racism and just black
your
people
racial
and everything.
Guy. No, I'm playing.
I obviously, you're like my American racial guy. Then I've got to have like my African racial guy. So he's like my African. So I've got like, my brother is, that's my brotherly racial angle. African racial angle. You're my American pan-African racial angle. I've got many racial angle connects, bro. Because it's actually healthy. Just having that racial talk is always healthy. So, yeah.
Anyway, Talking Race, Africa, and People. That's the name of the pod. So,
and also guys, thanks for the support for the Patreon, man. Thank you for all the Patreon supporters, man. Merci beaucoup, man. We appreciate the support.
Indeed. So, Talking Tactics Podcast. You guys know where to find us. Links are in the description. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always football.
Indeed. We will catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.